This morning's first reading is from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 11. And the heading is Invitation to the Thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Luke, and it's Mary's song, the Magnificat, which we've been looking at over recent weeks. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray now for Peter as he comes to preach. Father God, thank you for Peter. Thank you for his gifts of communication. I pray you will speak through him by your Spirit, and I pray you'll give us open hearts and ears to hear what you are saying. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. So as you've heard, as we prepare for Christmas, our sermons have been about the Christian adventure. We looked at the adventurer's prayer, the adventurer's fear, and the adventurer's mindset. Today, we're looking at the adventurer's longing. Most of the time, when the Bible wants to describe this desire, this longing in our hearts, the metaphor that's used is hunger and thirst. The heroes of the faith were hungry for the presence of God. They were thirsty for the power of the Spirit. So I guess my question this morning is, how's your appetite? How hungry are you? But we need to, I guess, before we get into this hunger and thirst of spiritual desire, we need to just back up a little bit. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're acknowledging that the physical food, the actual food and drink that we receive
comes from God's kitchen. When we say grace before meals, we're thanking God that he's fed us. When we share our food with others, or go and fetch a drink for somebody who is thirsty, we're following the teaching of Jesus. So whether you grow your own or fetch it from the supermarket, every mouthful of food ultimately comes from God. But as well as providing food for our bodies, God provides food for our souls. The soul can wither and die if it's not fed, just like the body. With some people, of course, you can't tell from the outside. Some people seem to be able to continue to function, but the body has become a mausoleum, and the soul is a corpse. There's kind of zombie Christians about the place, you'd think, wouldn't you? As if on the outside they're still moving, and on the inside it's death. The beauty of fresh snow sometimes just makes us grumble about the cold. As if the spirit inside has lost that connection, that joy, that life. So what is it? What is this soul food that gives us life and joy and purpose, connection with other people? What is this soul food that feeds us, not just the body's functioning, but the inside? I can find three main answers in the scriptures. First of all, soul food is the presence of God himself. You can see it in the Psalms in 42 and 63. The writer thirsts for God. And then that wonderful passage in John 6 where Jesus says, I am the bread and the wine. God himself, the presence of God, is our soul food. Soul food too is the word of God. There's a particular verse in Amos 8 that talks about people being hungry for a message from God. Do you sometimes feel that longing, that hunger? Speak to me, Lord. I need that message. And in 1 Peter 2, we're to long for the milk of the word. So the presence of God, the word of God, but soul food as well, is to do the work of God. John 4, Jesus says that his food is what? To do the will of God. Matthew 5, Jesus says he blesses, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who do the right work. So God spreads a table. Are you longing for the presence of God? Hungry for the word of God? Thirsty for the Spirit's power to help you do the work of God? This longing to be fed, to be given the water of the Spirit. As a child, my niece was a picky eater. She basically lived on cheese. I can't, maybe chips, but not much else. Mostly it was cheese. But here's the thing. A picky eater won't starve to death. But this last couple of weeks, I've learned a new bit of jargon. Daniel will like this. This is DSM-5. There you go. Ask him afterwards. ARFID is a thing, it seems. ARFID. I didn't know that acronym. It stands for Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder. Good one, that, isn't it? Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder. It's being so fussy about what you eat that it'll kill you. There are people, children and adults, who get to a point, it's so serious, that their intake of food is so low, they're avoiding and restricting their intake, it will kill them. So how's your appetite for soul food? Are you a picky eater? Have you got spiritual aphid? Is there sometimes patches where you say, there is food there, but I don't want it like that. That sermon is too wrong. I'm not eating there. I can't eat this. Sometimes do we find ourselves in a situation, I would have sat down and done my usual quiet time reading my Bible and making notes in my journal of how God spoke to me, but I don't have my favourite pen, so I can't. Sometimes, you know, we get caught up in ways of avoiding the business of receiving the food that God offers to us. Ways of restricting our spiritual intake. Sometimes we kind of make like the teenager, stay in our bedroom rather than come to the meal table. I'll pray when my knee stops hurting. I'll look at the Bible when I'm not so distracted by concerns about my family. I'll do the work of God when the sun's shining, when I've run out of distractions. If you avoid soul food and restrict your intake, your soul can wither and die. I speak to my own heart. How is our spiritual appetite? Now, the Bible refers to another kind of eating disorder. In our first passage, why do you spend money on food that doesn't satisfy? Another medical term for you. Some people like to put in their mouth and swallow things that have no food value whatsoever. It's called pica, P-I-C-A. It means eating things that you shouldn't be eating. If you want a weird 5 minutes on the internet, just put in that. The medics have removed all kinds of things from people's stomach. There's a gruesome 5 minutes. Sometimes I look at my own life and I acknowledge that I'm in the habit of eating things that have got no spiritual food value whatsoever. This is exactly what was posed in Isaiah 55. Why do you spend money on things which aren't doing you any good? Why are we consuming into our lives things that aren't soul food? In a bad patch, the psalmist described his food as ash and his drink as tears. Sometimes we eat the wrong stuff. Sometimes we feed on money or reputation or other things. Sometimes we swallow all kinds of unhelpful things into our hearts. Instead of feeding our souls on doing the will of God, on enjoying the presence of God, on listening to the word of God, we do the opposite. It's a kind of spiritual pica. And at the end of it, your stomach might feel full, but it's not good. So, the Bible tells us what good soul food is. To seek God, to receive his word, to do his will. These are the things that feed our soul. How's your spiritual appetite? And then, Proverbs 21 talks about farmers who could grow food and look after themselves and eat good stuff, but are so lazy that they are hungry. And sometimes God puts that soul food in front of us. And instead of taking it in, we just can't be bothered. Or we get into patterns of not daily consumption, but kind of failed Weight Watchers thing of binging and starving. Unhealthy patterns of tolerating malnutrition. I wonder sometimes, I don't know, but maybe the dietitians could tell us, but is it sometimes easier to get on with life if you're really hungry and you're malnourished? Is it sometimes easier to get on with it if you don't even have a taste? You know, if you have, I don't know, sometimes, I don't know if you feel like this, but sometimes it can be the case that if we're really struggling and not doing well and not in those spiritual disciplines of eating and drinking and consuming good stuff regularly, it's kind of easier to keep away from food entirely, as if a taste will make it worse, like having a nibble before a main meal. It just kind of, I don't know. The answer from that Proverbs passage, the answer to that problem of malnutrition, spiritual malnutrition of soul food, is to do the work. To do the work of getting that food into us. To spend the time on study of Scripture. To spend the time in prayer. To get out of the armchair and do the work of God. So I don't know what your diet diary would look like recently. Have you been eating healthily, nourishing your soul? We say, don't we, that a sign of good health is to have a healthy appetite. And the Scriptures leave us with this slightly paradoxical situation. We're told about the contentment that comes, like being full, when we've had significant blessing, when God has spoken to our hearts, when we've done something and, wow, it caused others to be really blessed. When we've been in worship or in prayer, or we've gone for a prayer walk, whatever it is that we've done, and you've just had that sense of the presence of God with you. You've had a tough time, but the comfort of God has fed your soul. Full up with the presence of God. Those wonderful moments, it's like a foretaste. But the Scripture does not say that is the full story about human existence. The Scripture is wiser than the pop psychologists who say that purpose of life is fulfillment. We're not given a life which is about being filled full all the time. We're given a life which has touches of that, foretastes, moments of that joy. But also, as well as those magnificat moments when we can truly say, He has filled the hungry with good things, we also have moments of hunger, of a kind of emptiness inside, a kind of hollowness inside, a longing to be fulfilled. This slow, enduring ache of hunger that will only end when we get to heaven. That longing for more of the presence of God than we've seen. That heart's desire, that appetite, that hunger for the presence of God, which can only be satisfied in heaven. Until now, until then, in the meantime, we can feed our souls with that soul food. The presence of God, the word of God, the work of God. Feeling hungry? Let's pray.